Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
Not good for brain waves. to be. If so, still this way. How still?
His head was a mess. So
how strangely still?
His brain was a mess.
My brain
and
waves.
His head was
so
a mess.
Far today. It is not good for brain waves to be
if
so still this way. How still, how strangely still, how still, how strangely still, how still, how strangely still, how still, how strangely still. How strangely still. May it come that the sounds of the bardo shall be known as one's own sounds. May it come that the sounds of the bardo shall be known as one's own sounds. May it come
finally
that the sounds of the bardo shall be known as one's own sounds.
Born to die.
at the strange heart, the weird heart, the wireless heart of every adventure into the big sloppy. And it is not surprising that such tension should produce anxiety and even a sort of madness. One we might name the Beef Heart Affliction, in homage to the great Captain Beefheart, the dog at the radar station, who ripped the cord and saw the bone in the telephone way back in 1980. Quote, "And I strangled, and I ripped the cord, and I saw the bone, and I heard these tweeting things and twinkling lights, and there was nobody home. Where are all those nerve endings coming out of the bone? Telephone, telephone. Well, I ripped the cord right out of the phone, and I saw the bone. There, the gleaming white bone. Telephone, and I can't get away. It's like a grey adder. It's like a plastic, horned devil."
So, you know, it's a dangerous game to cut words that you can...
Yeah,
it's, you think you're in control, but the words are going to have their own revenge often. And I love that. I love the cycle, the cyclical nature of that. So, take the risk of creating these composite language monsters. You think maybe it's a language game, and then it turns into a language monster, and then you know the monster can either dance for you or devour you.
Let us mull and marinate the phrase, voice off, as in, gone off like a slab of fish too long in the sun, the voice, corrupted, or perhaps I am being too harsh, and should say, rather, the voice, ripened, to the point of bursting, like a fig, too long on the tree. As in the book of Revelations, the stars fall from the heavens like figs from the fig tree shaken by an ill wind. For a person is nothing more nor less than a wind sounding through a specifically named chunk of flesh that we will call figgy pudding. One with biological and physiological integrity, and a unique DNA. A pudding that once upon a time, when sounded, filled the space around the vital, vibrant figgy bit and told us, ah yes, that is my old friend, or colleague, or lover. Yet now that pudding has gone off, become some other thing. Let's say, a scallop in lime juice. A lime juice that has been invaded and fully occupied by bacteria that crave lime juice as a medium for their own multiplication, while intoxicating the scallops, and so the scallops become toxic and begin to smell not like savory savish, yet like stinking death. A bit off. Or, in German, verrottet, close cousin to our word rotten. And it has long been said that the rotten apple will, sooner or later, injure its neighbors in the barrel through the often rapid process of corruption. And that's how it goes with the voice off. As it worms its way into the slick tissues and wet vocal folds of some other person, some other persona, and before you know it, an entire culture is talking that sort of nonsense, nonsense that is just a syllable or two away from a death sentence. And we love it, and we dance with it. And we create an oratorio for it, usually in the key of C minor.
So the first thing, if you haven't been familiar with thinking about the brain very much, I just want to bring home to you, is actually a story that made me start to become a brain scientist. And I like this picture that I've just put up here of someone holding a brain, because it takes me back to when I was a student at Oxford and we were doing, as part of the course, a dissection. And there you are with your partner in the practical class, and they bring in these tubs of human brains. They're a bit like Tupperware buckets. And you're wearing surgical gloves because the brain has to be preserved, has to be kept firm so you can dissect it in formalin, a pungent and toxic chemical. So you're wearing surgical gloves, but nonetheless you roll your sleeve up and plunge your hand in, and then, rather like in shown here, you're actually holding a brain in one hand. And I remember very clearly the first time I did that, and anyone here who's worked on the brain will have done that. And you sit there, or stand there, and you hold in your hand, the essence of a person, if you think about it. And I wondered at the time, had I not been wearing surgical gloves, what would have happened if I'd got a bit under my fingernail? Would that have been the bit that somebody loved with? Would it have been a memory? Would it have been a hope? Would it have been a habit? And think about it, it does drive you mad, actually. Or you become a brain scientist, or some might say the two are the same thing. Which is to actually just reflect on this boring looking stuff. You're going to see lots of pictures like this of the brain over the next hour. But it's incredible that somehow translates into you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, radio space, you know, a space of eros, a space of kind of seduction, of invitation, a space of navigation, a space of discovery, but also a space of thanatos, a space of death, a space that's full of signal. That's, you know, that's fragmented, that's decayed to such an extent that you can no longer. It's like compost. It's like disintegrating, you know, it's like disintegrated flesh. So I'm always aware of radio space as a space of death, as well as a space of possibility and invention. And a lot of the invention is using the compost. So.
Finally,
that the sounds of the bardo.
Something has spoken.
Shall be known as one's own sounds.
The human being is this night, this empty nothing that contains everything in its simplicity, an unending wealth of many representations. This night, the interior of nature that exists here. Pure self in phantasms. Has night all around it. In which here shoots a bloody head. There, another white ghastly apparition. Suddenly here before it, and just so, disappears. One catches sight of this night when one looks human beings in the eye. Into night that becomes awful.
Space, a very convoluted space, a wounded space, a wounded space, literally because it's a space of violence, but also poetically because it's a space of rips and ruptures and tears and growlers, and I don't really think about digital. The digital universe cannot really accommodate radio space because radio space is intrinsically, you know, entropic, and therefore it's not conducive to mathematical, you know, consistency and permanence. So it's a very unstable space. a space of contusion and confusion and bewilderment and mystery, of course. It's a space that that merges with obviously the dream space. It merges with cosmic noise, really. So, you know, it's a space, it's a very inclusive space, but its inclusion also you know, means that it can be used in very pragmatic ways. So, for example, as a space of delivering, you know, weapons, a space of control, a space of command. It's the space of the dictator's voice, as well as the space of resistance.
May it come
finally
that the sounds of the bardo shall be known as one's own sounds. May it come that the sounds of the bardo shall be known as one's own sounds. May it come that the sounds of the bardo shall be known as one's own sounds.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.